The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Beautiful Friday. Going to be a gorgeous weekend. And we are fired up and ready to go. Lots of news to talk about. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Let me tell you how insane things have gotten with this virus and the way we're reacting to it. There is a Little League baseball team down in Lacey, South Sound area. These kids are 12 years old. For 3 years, since they were nine, they have been fundraising and planning to go to Cooperstown, New York for a great event. It's called the Cooperstown Dream Park. And you get to go to play ball games in this beautiful bucolic town. There's only one problem. They'd set off all their money. Parents had gotten their rental houses on some on the lake there. And then the Cooperstown tournament directors sent out this. All participants, coaches, and campers 12 years and older must be immunized. Immunized. There is not a vaccine that has been approved for use on 12-year-olds. And so these kids who have been dreaming of their field of dreams aren't going to be able to go because they can't get a vaccine injected into their arm. How can any organization demand the vaccination of a 12-year-old when the vaccines aren't approved for 12-year-olds? Anyway, I'm going to talk to one of the kids, one of the players on that team, coming up right after 12:30 this afternoon, and we'll tell you more on that story. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I have often, usually, almost always, disagreed with Jay Inslee on issues. Believe it or not, and a lot of people don't believe this because I'm very passionate about disagreeing on issues, but I try to not make it personal because, you know, I've played basketball against the governor. I don't think he's a bad guy, or I didn't think he was a bad guy. But I'm having second thoughts now after something that happened yesterday. Well, first of all, he had a press conference, and he talked about why he has rolled three counties back, including Pierce County, to phase
two. Some of these younger people are having some very significant long-term impacts besides death of older people. We still have 25% of our seniors over the age of 65 who are not vaccinated. They have a target on their back.
Okay, now let me just give you an example of how stupid everything that we are doing as a government is. Here is Jay Inslee, March 20th, last year, when he was blasting Donald Trump and he was telling all of us, do not go in outside. I want you to stay inside.
When I rolled out the stay home, stay healthy in March, I did so because we knew that reducing movement and reducing the physical interactions that would take place ultimately would reduce the spread of this virus and ultimately save lives. And it's why we made very difficult decisions to close state parks and public lands and golf facilities and delaying hunting and fishing seasons.
So, March of last year, don't walk in state parks. We've closed them off. Don't go tramping in the woods if you're a hunter or a hiker. Don't walk on the beach. Stay inside. And he said it with certainty. He said, we know that that's going to reduce deaths if you stay inside. What did he say yesterday?
We have had the weapon of the mask. It's helped. We now have the weapon of the vaccine. It has helped. But today we want to ask Washingtonians to use a third weapon against the fight against COVID.
And what's that?
That is, we are asking Washingtonians in the upcoming weeks to take it outside.
What?
Whatever we're going to do when we're around other people and take it outside.
Wait a second. You told us with certainty that we couldn't go to the beach, we couldn't go to the state parks, that we couldn't walk anywhere in March of last year. And now you're telling us the exact opposite. It's almost like you have no clue what you're doing. But it's not just the cluelessness of Jay Inslee. I want to welcome back to the show, she's joining us live, a young woman named Kayla, who's on with us 2 days ago. And Kayla, it's like you're my new best friend. How are you?
Hi, Dari. How are you?
I'm really good. So let's just recap for people who weren't listening on Wednesday. Your ideal wedding guest list for tomorrow was 136, and that was allowed under phase three. And then on Monday, Jay Inslee said, oh, you're going back to phase two in Pierce County, cutting you back to 103. You had people who had already flown in from out of town. You can't you can't postpone the wedding because your husband-to-be, your fiancé, is active military, has been deployed overseas. You guys are going to go overseas again. So, have you made any decisions yet about what you're going to do?
Well, if you don't want to tell me,
that's fine, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll just say, because this, it obviously, it's been a crazy week. We're finally, you know, the wedding's tomorrow. We're sitting in a place where we're actually finally at a plan, but it took, you know, after we found the news, I did what we can. We reached out to the governor's office, as I said earlier, and we weren't confident that we would get anything from him because he seemed to be ignoring a lot of the state reps we had reached out. And then finally, yesterday was the first response we heard from him. But we had to plan. We went out and we got with all of our vendors, and we had tape measures out and figured out what we could do to not have to uninvite people. But we were pushed outside, so I guess he'll be happy. Governor Inslee will be happy to hear. But we
take it outside.
we had to make it work, but thankfully we have a venue. We couldn't, with the restrictions, we couldn't adhere to the restrictions while staying inside. So either it was uninvite people or replan the entire wedding. And so we replanned the entire thing from the ground up, keeping it at, thankfully, the venue wanted to keep us, obviously, because they were doing whatever they could to work with us, but that's revenue for them that they really need. And all of our vendors, you know, we're putting thousands of dollars, we're the stimulus, back into Pierce County with this wedding, and we wanted to make it happen. And so we didn't have to uninvite people at this point, thankfully, but it's only because we were able to have good weather, this random good weather in April, which is unheard of, but that enabled us to have an outdoor wedding. And if it was raining, we would have not be having this conversation. It'd be a very different story.
And I had so many people who said, tell Kayla, just do it anyway. Just ignore the governor. And you might have, but your vendors were afraid they were going to lose their business license. So if they were the photographer, the florist, the caterer for an event that is not approved by the state, they could lose their business license. That's the reason you couldn't just act unilaterally. Okay, so I got a question to the governor at his press conference yesterday and asked him about your wedding. I didn't name you, but here's the question. And this is why I say, I just don't think he's a good person, because he is so snarky and snide about the most important day of your life. And here's what he said as we asked him about your wedding.
From Cairo Radio, first, due to the Pierce County rolling back to phase two tomorrow, a couple has had to disinvite dozens of guests for their wedding, as capacity will be reduced. In the past, you've allowed flexibility for events like this and similar rollbacks. Do you consider doing anything like this time?
The wedding issue, look, it's hard. These are frustrations. I hope the couple will have a great wedding. I hope they have a future where they can all celebrate as much as they can, and I wish them well. I hope they have half as much luck in marriage as I have had.
What did you think of that?
I don't know what kind of answer that is. I don't think he answered the question at all, but that's also the most politician non-answer answer I've ever heard in my life. So I don't really know what – I don't speak – I don't know what that means, but I guess thank you. We're going to have a happy day and a very happy marriage, but it's thankfully because we're able to get people to really go bend over backwards to try to make something work for us.
I got to tell you, Kayla, I was so furious when I heard that response from him. And here's what I know. It was like he doesn't care about you. He heard it was from Cairo Radio. He knew it was from my radio show. And because of that, he decided to take this snide, kind of snarky tone. And you know, we reached out because after just talking to you on Wednesday, I deeply care about you and your special day. And I told you, I know that for my daughters, I know that this is the most important day in a young woman's life. And I just couldn't believe that he was so snide and snarky with his answer. And that's where I just say he's just lost it. He's just completely lost it with all of this. And, you know, like you said on Wednesday, does he think the COVID, the virus stops at the King Pierce County line? Does he think that it activates at 10 p.m. when he told the bars they could stay open only till 10? All of this is so random and so capricious. It's just, and like I said, it's just got to be, and I know it has, it's driven you crazy in what is always a hectic time of life.
This has been the craziest week of my life. It's been an emotional roller coaster. I've gone from devastated to angry to happy we're able to finally just figure something out. I didn't know how to have, I was preparing this conversation in my head of what we were going to have to say to people if we couldn't figure out. And we kept watching the forecast, and then someone told me it's going to be almost 79 degrees outside, and I'm looking, and thankfully we have the option to have this outdoor space. And so the issue, though, is, you know, we have a lot of guests that were able to come down. They're coming from the Seattle area, a lot of some people that are inside that are local. And what I don't get about the county lines, this is where this has been so frustrating. I feel like that this little county is singled out with those other two ones. And if we had the wedding in Seattle, like I was saying, we would have been able to have phase three. We would have 10 people at a table inside, and we would be able to have full capacity of the wedding, not have to be put in a position to uninvite or replan an entire wedding in 5 days' notice. And the crazy thing is most of the people probably coming to the wedding that are local are coming from King County. And so it's like this COVID doesn't stop at the borders. And I were switching from determining the phases by regions back to counties, and then these discrepancies on the numbers, and just trying to get a clear answer. It doesn't seem like he's just ignoring you, because I haven't been able to get any other group I've been reaching out to. I've been calling him myself, and no one can get a straight answer about something that has happened in the past. And it's just been, I'm just at this point at a loss for words, as I hope that he would maybe at least give a little bit more of an answer. And if he's been married before, understanding how important this day is, if he's, you know, thankfully he's had such a happy marriage, but that's what we're striving for too. And I think he should understand how important this day is, and at least give a little bit more than a politician response to something that we're really dealing with. And one thing, sorry, just to make clear, because one thing I don't want to also sound like some ungrateful, you know, I guess somebody, oh my gosh, we can only have 103 people at our wedding. This is one of these cross-cultural events that is so widely recognized. It doesn't matter where you're from. A wedding is something that's not just for us. It's for all of our friends and family. And I emphasized the importance of it the last time I was on the show, of how critical this day is and for us and all of our friends and family. And so I'm not somebody that's just being ungrateful. It's the principle at this point of having the rug pulled out from under me, trying to get an answer from the governor, trying as one of the people that lives in his state that I feel like he should be working on behalf of, and we can't get anywhere. And another thing,
well,
to
like
clarify,
I said, even when he was asked the question, he just decided to be snarky, and it was a lousy thing for him to do. Will you do? And again, God is blessing you with maybe the most gorgeous April 17th in our history. Will you do me just one favor, Kayla? Will you ignore the dancing, those dopey dancing restrictions that say you can only dance with people at your table and where you're not supposed to? You said to me a couple days ago, what if you stop by someone's table and just to visit with them and you start moving to the music? Are Inslee's people going to sweep in and lock you up?
I really hope I can dance with a grandpa that's sitting at a different table, even though we've already met and we've had, you know, some time to sit down and chat together. He's vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. And the reason why this, we have about 80% of our guests vaccinated. The reason why I want to clarify why this is so high is because the majority of our family is in the medical field or in the army that okay. are friends coming, and they've all had early access to the vaccine. So I want to clarify why there's such a high vaccination rate at our wedding. And the people that aren't vaccinated, we've had a lot of people feel not comfortable coming, and that's their prerogative. But those are the people that aren't there. And so that's why it's okay, but we are taking precautions safely. But I can't keep up with what's limitations are placed on us when they keep changing.
When the stakes starts flip-flopping. Yeah, I got you. Well, Kayla, God bless you and your fiance and your wedding. And now you can put all this nonsense behind you and just focus on what should be the greatest day of your life up till now.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. And at the end of the day, we'll do our best. If those squares, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how that's going to be police
Ignore
or anything.
The
but the venue just, well, hopefully they don't shut the wedding down. So if Inslee comes down there, if the vendors, I don't know, if somebody shuts us down, I'm going to be pretty upset. I'll be calling you back. But we're going to do our best just to have a good night and go
have
from there.
A fantastic so. Time. All right, Kayla, it's nice talking with you again. And
thanks,
all
Corey.
My best to you. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
There goes Kayla. What an answer from Inslee. What an answer. He's snide and snarky because the question came from our radio show. That's not a good person. I've reversed my opinion of him on a personal level, not just on an issues level. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, another Dory Monson Show exclusive. A 12-year-old Little League team cannot go to the event they've been fundraising for 3 years because the event says 12-year-olds must be vaccinated. No vaccine has been approved for a 12-year-old. I'll talk to one of the kids in a month next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as I've told you many times, some of my, well, maybe many of my happiest moments of childhood involved Little League baseball. And I got a message on Facebook from somebody who said they wanted to bring me up to speed and something that came up with a 12U team down in Lacey. They've been together since they were 8. They're coached by former Major League player Lyle Overbay. And they've been raising money for a tournament in Cooperstown, New York this summer. And that's where the story gets really intriguing. So I'm going to talk with one of the players in just a moment. And first, I'm going to talk with his mom, Tasha, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Tasha, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Of course. Thank you, Dory.
Okay. So, man, what is going on here? So you guys have been raising money for 3 years, and now I understand they are demanding a vaccine for the kids if you're going to go and live this dream this summer?
Right, yeah. So when the boys were about 9, Lyle just said, hey, there's this amazing opportunity down in Cooperstown, which is, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame, for the boys when they're 12 to go down there for a week and just sound like an amazing experience. Play for a week and you get to do like training and skills. And of course the Hall of Fame is there. So they'd get to go see that. And, so we were really excited about it. It seemed so far away, you know, back then. And then, this year, you know, as it was getting closer, we've made arrangements. Everybody got their houses and their airline tickets and, cars. And then we just got a letter from them on Saturday, I believe. From the Cooperstown program that just said the only way that you can continue to play is if all 12-year-olds are vaccinated.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, just kind of confusion, mainly because just from what I had heard is that the FDA had not approved it for anyone under 16 at that time. So I thought, you know, we were in Mexico, actually, so I thought, well, I must have missed something. But at the same time, I just have always been really hesitant to get my son vaccinated for COVID because he is a type 1 diabetic and there have been no juveniles in part of any of their pretrial studies. And so Cooperstown or not, we just vaccination for him, you know, turning 12 just recently wasn't something that we were even considering. So just, I guess, confusion and, you know, super disappointed, especially for the boys, and anger. I mean, yet we were really mad because it just feels like they're just setting us up for failure when that, you know, you can't get a 12-year-old vaccinated right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, to this day, there has not been a vaccine approved for anybody under 16. So I don't blame you for your hesitations. Is Beckett there with you? Can I talk to him for a sec?
He is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here comes Beckett, who plays on this team. Hey, Beckett, how are you?
Good.
Before I get into all this adult vaccine stuff and everything, what position do you play?
Shortstop and catcher.
Really? I was a shortstop my entire career. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that is cool.
It's fantastic. So tell me, what kind of stuff have you guys been doing to raise money for this Cooperstown trip?
Well, so my dad runs a basketball tournament, and we're going to use that as a big fundraiser.
Yeah.
And then he's had some car washing set up and this other stuff.
Man, your life sounds like mine. We did so many car washes and things so we could travel. So what was your reaction, Beckett, when you heard that they had to give you a vaccine to go to Cooperstown?
Well, I was in Mexico, and so... Yeah, I was kind of mad that we didn't get a go, but we didn't really know it.
So is it officially canceled now?
I think so, yeah.
So I know this is a bunch of adult stuff that we're all dealing with this vaccine and everything, but what's your reaction to being in the middle of this when you guys had for years as a team set this as a goal and a destination for you?
Well, I was disappointed, and like, because they have to make us get a vaccine to even play, and I was just mad and disappointed.
What would you think if, let's say, the government says 12-year-old kids can get the vaccine now? Your mom told me you're a type 1 diabetic. Would you want to get it?
No.
Nah. Even if it meant going to Cooperstown?
No. I mean, probably not.
I understand. My wife and I, we took our three daughters to Cooperstown many years ago. Do you have a favorite player in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, Lyle.
Your coach, Lyle Overvay, yeah. He had a great career, man. I was looking up his stats. He played for 14 years, had almost 1,500 hits. He must be a great coach.
Yeah, actually, but I don't remember. It might still be up there, but he had his bat, I think, was up in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame.
Really? For what? Do you know?
I think it was 2 years, actually. He led the league in doubles.
Did he? That's cool. Is he a good coach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the nice thing about great coaches is they're going to stick with you for the rest of your life. I mean, you're really lucky to have a great coach.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Here's my memory of Cooperstown, Beckett. It was a sunny day, and a thunderstorm came across the lake, and I was playing wiffle ball with a bunch of people down by the lake as the heaviest rainstorm I've ever encountered rolled in. It's a really beautiful place, and even though they're keeping you out with this whole vaccine nonsense, I hope you get to experience it someday. And I'm sure you will. Are you planning to go there someday, maybe when you have kids?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it would be fun to go there and see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Well, it's good talking to you, Becky. Can I talk to your mom again for just a minute?
Yep. Yeah, here she is.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Beckett.
Yep, you're welcome.
Sorry, it went monotone.
No, he's a good young man that you have there. That's awesome.
He's a great kid.
Yeah. So what is it like? Because my girls are all grown, and I've told them, Tasha, that, you know, right now to me, the vaccine, the upside, the downside, it seems about even for young, healthy women in their 20s. As a mom having to weigh all this stuff, I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, we have an extra layer just in our world because of his type 1 anyway, and his body just doesn't break things down like it should. And so to put something foreign in him. And he's always got flu vaccinated. Like, we're not anti-vax people. We've always done, you know, what the pediatricians have told us. I think just for us, and everybody has their own opinion, but for us, it's just so new. And it happens so quickly that I'm not comfortable with maybe long-term side effects that we don't know about.
Yep.
Not just for Beckett, but, you know, we have a 14 and a 7-year-old as well. And so because they're healthy, because their immune systems so far seem to fight COVID better than anything, we're just taking our chances on their body naturally fighting it off. And then, you know, if a few years down the line, we feel more comfortable with the vaccine and maybe its advancements, that's certainly something to revisit. But, you know, for kids, it just, they're not at risk. You know, I'm a school counselor, and to be honest, I've had, you know, I think in Washington State, we've had 89 youths commit suicide this year, and we've had zero COVID deaths from youths.
Right.
And so, you know, I guess my passion right now is just mental health as opposed to, you know, they're healthy. They're healthy, and they can fight this. So,
no,
that's where we're at. And again, we could change in a couple years, but...
You know, I think it was your mom who reached out to me on Facebook, and she asked, is this even legal? Have you guys lost money? Have you paid money that's not going to be refunded to this?
So Lyle doesn't like to talk about this, but he paid for the boys out of his own pocket. And so he was the one that was not getting his refund. And so because the letter that they sent was pretty vague and pretty cryptic. It was like, we're not refunding you. It was an odd letter to send out. I don't even know if they proofread it, but so that's where we were really frustrated. Is you gave us an impossible feat, and now you're saying, and also you can't get any of your money back. The good news is Lyle just told me today that he did get his money back. So
good.
I'm hoping that's for everybody. I mean, I'm hoping everybody gets their money back. But yeah, so, and you know, we lost just little bits of money here and there with like deposit fees and things like that.
Yeah, and all the time and energy that the kids have put into fundraising and all that.
Yeah,
I get that. Well, it sounds like, you know, what Beckett said, that they're going to find other tournaments to go to, and I'm sure they'll create all kinds of great memories without this.
Right.
But man, this does sound illegal to collect money for a tournament and then say, but you have to be vaccinated, and no vaccine has been approved for 12-year-olds.
Right.
That's
right.
Crazy.
And I certainly understand if it would have said you just need to have a negative COVID test. I mean, we've seen that happen everywhere we've gone this year. And I think that would have been a great compromise and something that would have kept, you know, people safe and maybe feel more comfortable bringing in, you know, people from out of town. So I guess I don't understand why it was such a drastic jump to the vaccination as opposed to we need to see negative COVID tests.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So man. It's sad because the lady that we, you know, rented our house from, that's their livelihood. And I, you know, I apologized and said, we're going to need to be refunded. And she said that they're devastated. Their community was not, they had no idea. They were completely blindsided with this. And she said, we've lost now 2 summers. And this is like 80% of our income. Is this Cooperstown tournament that goes on our entire summer. And so, you know, it's devastating for their community. It's a small, quaint, traditional community, and they just, this is their livelihood.
Well, it's really nice talking with Tasha, and tell Beckett I give you my best.
Awesome. I will do that. Thank you, Dory.
Okay, thank you very much. There you go, Tasha and her 12-year-old son, Beckett. I mean, this is getting out of control. I am not an anti-vaxxer. I just got vaxxed last Sunday, and we have people saying we got to vax 12-year-olds when there's been no vaccine approved. It's really insane. Let me know your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, 98973. Lots more to come here in the Dory Monson Show.
Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go wild. Welcome to my house.
My house. So, Black Lives Matter. That is an absolute truth. But as you know, I have never supported the organization Black Lives Matter because it is a Marxist organization. And I don't like communism. So I've never supported it. It's real funny. I went for a bike ride in the Burke Yeoman a few days ago. I was riding and, you know, past all these waterfront, Lake Washington waterfront homes that are next to the Burke Gilman. And house after house, they have their Black Lives Matter yard signs so they can show their neighbors how woke they are. And I was thinking, if you live in a $3 million house on Lake Washington, you're probably quite a ways from being a Marxist. And it's just, it's amazing to me that people just blindly support something because it's popular without looking into it. And I want to give you an example of just the sheer hypocrisy of this organization. One of the founders is Patrice Cullors, and she is still one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter. Patrice Cullors, in the last few months, has bought four huge houses. And remember, you can get a lot of house for $1 million elsewhere in the country. Seattle, $1 million is like average. But around the country, you can get a lot of house. She's bought four houses in predominantly white neighborhoods for $3.25 million. Now, I can't afford $3.25 million worth of house. So she went on with Mark Lamont Hill, and he asked her about it. And just listen to the sheer hypocrisy of this so-called Marxist.
Also a critique, though, from the left that would say, if you are a trained Marxist, if we're talking about a certain kind of radical politic, that extravagant homes of any sort or multiple properties of any sort is itself contradictory to the ideology that you hold. And so it's not about having money per se, but that it's about or about property per se, but it's about there being a potential contradiction between your expressed politics and your lived practice.
Sure. And I think that is a critique that is wanting. And I say that because the way that I live my life is in direct support to Black people, including my Black family members, first and foremost. And for so many Black folks who are able to invest in themselves and their community, they choose to invest in their family. And that's what I've chosen to do. I have a child, I have a brother that has severe mental illness that I take care of. I support my mother, and I support many other family members of mine. And so I see my money as not my own. I see it as my family's money as well.
He's unbelievable. In other words, I got mine. I'm the Marxist multi-millionaire who has gotten rich off of this fleecing of America. And, you know, it goes back to Jenny Durkin paying $100 million in ransom to the groups that took over CHOP and the East Precinct. She gave them ransom to get their own property back. And how's that money helped? Are things any better on the streets of Seattle? No, of course not. It's money that's just thrown away. And, you know, if you give to Black Lives Matter, well, you're buying a fourth or fifth or sixth huge house for a multimillionaire. You're not improving Black lives. And it's just, and plus, a Marxist, a true Marxist, if they lived their principles, they wouldn't have $3.25 million worth of real estate. But this is what Marxism is truly all about. The powerful and the connected get rich while they paralyze everybody else who is under the tyrannical regimes. Yes, Black Lives Matter. But no, I will never support Black Lives Matter, the organization. I wish more people would look into it before they put up their yard signs. Okay, we'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour, then the Fastest 15. Amazing audio coming up in the Fast 15 next.